attention. Verse number, we'll just jump in about verse number 6. Verse 6, the Bible says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware. Beware. That is, look out. Beware. Be on the watch. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy, vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him, that is in Christ, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Of all principality and power. In verse 9, Paul writes and he says, for in him, that is in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That is, he's speaking of Christ's deity. Jesus is God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1:1. Colossians, Paul here, he said, in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You want to see what God looks like? Look at Jesus. You want to see how God would act? Look at Jesus. You want to know how God feels on the matter? Look at Jesus. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Paul was writing to the church of Colossae, a church that had been founded by some believers, evidently from Pentecost, had gone back and started this work here, and people had been saved. They'd been gathered together. Paul is writing to them, and there is some heresy that's begun to creep in. There is some people that are trying to persuade them. They are trying to deceive them. They are trying to entice them into other beliefs. They're trying to get them into some things that are not biblical, some heretical teachings that would ruin them. And Paul here trying to encourage them and to help them along the way. And he told them in verse 8, beware, be on the lookout, watch out, lest any man spoil you through philosophy, vain deceit, tradition of men, the rudiments of the world. That is the base elementary things of the world. That rudiments, it has the idea of the, like the ABCs, the basics of this world, and not after Christ. And so Paul is writing to a group of people that are mixed up in philosophy. They're mixed up in what's known as Gnosticism, or it's like they think they have a superior knowledge. They're smarter than God, you know, kind of like a lot of people in our day. They think you're crazy if you believe the Bible because they're so smart they got it all figured out. Yeah, you know what I'm saying. And he's writing to people that are mixed up in things like that. They're mixed up in legalistic Judaism, keeping of the law and forcing the law. They're mixed up in worshiping angels. They're mixed up in thinking that there's a bridge between God and man, and it's like a series of steps, and Jesus is just part of that ladder. Can I say to you this morning, Jesus ain't part of the ladder. Jesus is the ladder, amen. You can't get to God any other way than through Jesus. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, the life. Not a way, not a truth, not a life, but the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. They're messed up on mysticism and all this sensualistic things and extreme meditation. Man, we've got a lot of mysticism going on in our churches today. Vain philosophies, things that people that think they're so smart, they've studied Plato and they've studied Aristotle, but they don't know, hey, what the Word of God says. Enticing words, flowery language, they've got all kind. And Paul's right here and says, beware, be on the lookout. You know, there's a lot of people in our churches today that are mixed up. I hate to say it, but there's a lot of people that set the pews of fundamental Baptist churches. And their views of God and their views of Christianity and their views of their self is all mixed up because they spend all week listening to Oprah and Dr. Phil instead of reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And we wonder why we're so messed up. We wonder why our kids are popping pills. We wonder why celebrities who look up in here last Sunday, a young lady, or I should say a young woman who grew up and she's got the same story of every country music singer. I started singing at church. I started singing in the choir. And then they got famous and then they got noticed and the devil drew them out and pulled them out and enticed them and pulled them into the world. And then she realizes the world don't satisfy. So last Sunday night, she puts a gun to herself and takes her life. And I'll tell you what it is. It's the devil. And he's deceiving individuals. And he's trying to entice them. He's trying to draw them. He's tricking them. He uses the flowery language. He uses the bright light. He uses whatever. Can I say it like? He'll use whatever he can use to get your attention. And the philosophy and the views of the world have crept into the church to where now people in the church, young people, are you listening? Young people in the church think they got to fit in to the mold that the world has set for them so that they can be successful or that they can be satisfied or that they can be happy. And I want to hear this morning, I want to look in verse number 10 for a little while, and I want to preach on this thought where Paul said, and ye are complete in him. And I want to preach on this thought, complete or incomplete. Complete or incomplete. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name this morning, I need you. And God, I thank you for how you've already helped us this morning. And God, I thank you for the good singing and Lord, for the good fellowship. And God, I pray you take this message that you put in my heart. And God, I pray you touch the Word of God. And I pray, Holy Ghost of God, that you'd walk up and down these aisles. And God, I pray you'd have your will and way. Lord, here for the next little while, Lord, work in our hearts and help us, Lord God. Help this preacher, God, speak to me and through me, God. Use this for your glory. And we'll thank you for all you do in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Paul said, and ye are complete in him. That word complete comes from the Greek word pleroo. Pleroo. The word complete, it means to make full or to fill up. It is to cause to abound, to furnish or supply liberally, to render something or someone full, to complete something, having no deficiency, nothing lacking. It is to fill to the top, to cram full, to fill to the brim, to have nothing wanting, nothing missing, to cram, to make replete. It is to consummate, to make something complete in every particular, to render it perfect, to carry it through to the end, to carry out to the end, to fulfill, to perfect. That is what we're talking about when he says, ye are complete. You've got everything that you need. You've got it all in Christ. Then there's the opposite of complete would be incomplete. To be incomplete would be that you are lacking, that you are unfulfilled, that you are not fully supplied, that you are not fully furnished, that you are incomplete. We think of something, there are things of incomplete order. There are things that is in incomplete work, an incomplete task, incomplete payments, incomplete, to be insufficient. I think of this morning about incomplete people. You say, what's incomplete? I remember when I was in school. You know, when I was in school, it was A, B, C, D, and whipping. Amen? Y'all get that in a minute. And I remember one time I had missed a lot of school because of an accident I had, and I missed several weeks of school. And when the report card come around, I didn't have all my assignments done, and there was an I on my report card. Anybody ever saw an I on a report card? You know what an I meant? An I meant you was incomplete. You hadn't done your work. You hadn't got it all done. They couldn't give you a grade. You didn't have everything you needed to pass the course. You had to go back and get something else done in order to be done. Incomplete. How many of you ever ordered something, maybe by mail, and you thought, man, this is going to be great. And when you got the box and you opened the box, you opened it up and you went through it and you said, yeah, this is. And then you got something in there, a little slip, and it said such and such would be mailed at a later, or it was back ordered, and your order was incomplete. Anybody ever done that? It drives you crazy, you know. You think, man, I needed that, and it's incomplete order. No doubt, if you've worked a public job, you worked with people, and they were supposed to carry out a task, and you came in behind them, and you found out they cut a few corners. They did this, they left this out, and you found some people that have left some things incomplete. You with me? Well, this morning, I believe, even in our churches, there's people this morning that are sitting here. They claim to be saved, even some of them. But their lives, they are deceived, like Paul said in verse 8. They've fallen prey to the deceit of Satan and men and this world. And they view themselves as incomplete. They look for satisfaction in the world. They look for satisfaction for the world to fill their cravings and their longings. They may look for it in all sorts of different areas. Can I go back to the young woman who took her life last week? Grew up in church, in the Bible Belt. Sang Christians, probably sang some of the songs we sang this morning. But came a time in her life where she probably wasn't saved. I'm not trying to say she was saved. But there came a time in her life that she began to seek to fill the satisfactions of her life, not in the church, not in the Word of God, not in serving God, but in the things of the world. And can I promise you, the Bible still says that the thief cometh not before to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Young people, Satan wants to destroy your life. He wants to steal, he wants to kill, and he wants to destroy your life. That's his goal for your life. Young people, Satan will throw up bright lights and he'll say, hey, if you'll try this, if you'll do this, you'll be famous, you'll be satisfied, you'll be happy. Can I remind you of the people who win the lottery and many of them go bankrupt because they can't get enough? They get a little bit and they just got to have a little bit more. Hey, the druggie, hey, he started out with one hit on a joint somewhere along the line and he took a toke on a joint and then it led to a hit. It led to snorting a little coke. It led to shooting a little heroin and he had to have something. Hey, the next one, he had to have something a little more, something a little more because nothing satisfied. He's always looking for something else. He's always looking for a bigger high. He's always looking for a longer high. He's always looking for more. Soft drinks advertise and say, hey, we'll satisfy your thirst. Then why you got to have another one? Nothing quenches your thirst like, and then you got to have another one in an hour later. I'm telling you, the things of this world, the philosophy of this world, is they want you dependent on them. So Paul writes, and he warns the Colossian church, and he says, ye are complete in him. Ye are complete in Christ. In Christ. He says, you're not incomplete, but you're complete. Can I help you this morning? If you're not saved this morning and you're looking for love, like the old song says, looking for love in all the wrong places, looking for satisfaction in all the wrong places, looking for fulfillment in life, you may be looking elsewhere, you may be looking everywhere. Hey, but I want to say there's only one place to look in order for you to be complete, and that's in Christ. I'm going to give you some truths this morning concerning our completeness in Christ. Number one, I want you to see the reality of our completeness. The reality of our completeness or of our being complete in Him. Can I say, the Bible says here in verse 10, and ye are complete in Him. Apart from being in Him, there is no completeness. This is an absolute. And ye are complete in Him. In other words, without Him, you're incomplete. Without Him, you don't have what it takes. Without Him, you don't have what satisfies. Without Him, you'll never be fulfilled. Without Him, you'll never have the longings and the cravings and the desires of your heart. Without Him, there will always be a void in your soul. Without Him, you are incomplete. But in Him, He said, you're complete in Him. The reality of the fact is you're only complete in Him. Some look to be complete, young people. Some people are seeking to be complete. They're seeking to be fulfilled. They're seeking to be satisfied in all sorts of other areas. I want to say to you this morning, your fulfillment is not found in traditions of men. Your fulfillment is not going to be found in legalistic Judaism or in the Gnosticism, superior knowledge of this world. Your completeness and your satisfaction in life is never going to be found in worshiping angels or some angelic being. It's not going to be found in some kind of spiritual mysticism or some kind of worldly philosophy and studying the great books and the great writers of years gone by. It's not going to be found in listening to the enticing, flowery language of some orator that sounds so smart. There's a lot of people that look for completeness in religion. They don't look for it in Christ. They don't look for it in a relationship with the Son of God. But they're looking for completeness in a religion. But can I say, the fact remains, the reality is, you will never be satisfied. You will never be fulfilled. You will never know what it's like to be complete by following after a religion. And I use the term religion not in the biblical way, but in the way in which the world uses religion. A lot of people looking for completeness by keeping rules, keeping regulations, keeping rituals, when their completeness will only be found through a relationship, Blake, with the Lord Jesus Christ. A relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a lot of people looking for completeness in their relatives or in a relationship. They're looking for completeness. Young people are looking for completeness in a boyfriend or a girlfriend. We live in a day, my wife and I was talking about this the other day, we're living in such a day that boys think that they can't be happy and they can't be satisfied. I'm talking 15, 16, 13, 12, 10. That life's just not right if they don't have a girlfriend. God help, you're 10 years old. Get a gun. Go play Indians and cowboys. Get off the couch, put the PlayStation down, get a shovel and go out and act like you're working. You ain't got a gun, get a stick and act like you got a gun. How many of y'all ever had a stick growing up? Amen? Man, when I was growing up, if you had a stick, you could be anything. Y'all with me? Amen. Or a box, a cardboard box. Cardboard box goes a long way, boys. Hey, throw the remote down, get a cardboard box and a stick, and I promise you, you can have all kinds of fun. They don't know what I'm talking about because they don't have to use their imagination. They just hit a button. Hello? Couch potatoes, glue. Living in zombie world. But they're 10, 12, I don't even know how old y'all, how are you, Timmy? 11, 10, 11, this age. I'm talking, go out in the world, talk to some of them in high school. Man, I didn't even want to be near a girl when I was 10 years old. They was dirty or something. And the world view has so changed and so infiltrated our homes and our schools through the television. And through the, hey, listen, Mom and Daddy, through what they're taught in school about a family. Oh, yeah. Hey, good neighbor, it's coming soon to a school near you if it ain't already there. They're going to teach them not only that they ought to have a relationship, but it doesn't matter who they have a relationship with. You don't like girls? It's all right, have a boyfriend. Still an abomination. I just thought I'd tell you. Right. It's still an abomination for a woman to kiss a woman. Right. Blake, it's still an abomination for a boy to be like a girl. That's right. I just thought I'd, hey, it's an abomination. Girls, I want y'all to know the preacher said that it's right here in the Bible, it's an abomination.
That's right.
That when you grow up, you're supposed to find a man and marry him.
That's right.
Amen? Amen. And you're supposed to find a young lady. Amen. Not Steve, Eve. All right, you with me? You say, preacher, I'll tell you why we got to go over this. Because the world is giving them enticing words and philosophy and pressure. And the devil's deceiving them. Through the music, through the movies, through the media. Even into our educational system.
Right.
It's just an alternate lifestyle. No, it's sickening. It's not normal. The book of Romans said they left the natural causes. The natural uses. It's not natural for a woman to be with a woman or a man to be with. It's not natural. You got to have a positive and a negative. They hear worse than this in school, I promise you. The music they're listening to in them headphones, mom and daddy, is way worse than what we're talking about this morning. But they're hooked and they're 10 and 12 years old and think they're depressed. I didn't even know what depression was until I was in my 20s. Never heard of anybody being depressed. And now you got kids popping pills because they ain't got a girlfriend. I know what I'm talking about. You got teenagers taking their own life and committing suicide because they're depressed because so-and-so wouldn't go out with them last week. I just help you out. When you do get old enough, there's more than one fish in the sea. But, hey, I'm telling you, it's not just kids, it's adults. I know men 50 years old that are popping pills and drinking because they don't have the woman they want. I know women that are so messed up, they're on alcohol and drugs and anything they can get their hands. And listen, they're running from one relationship to the next relationship. There's word for them kind of people, by the way. The Bible calls them whoremongers and whores. And we're just talking about the Bible. We're not being funny. Hey, it's time some of you young people hear what the Bible says about this. And they're going from one relationship to another relationship. Looking for satisfaction, looking for fulfillment. You'll never, listen to me, never, ever, ever find satisfaction that you're going to find and that you need through Christ in another person. In another relationship. I don't care if it's your mama, your daddy, your girlfriend, that sweet little girl that's so pretty. She's so hot.
That's right.
She'll never satisfy you like Christ.
That's right.
Exactly right. But he's a honk. He's a hottie.
Yep.
He's a heartthrob. He's going to grow up one day and have a pot belly.
Yep. Right.
You better know Christ. I told my wife when I was in high school I had a six-pack. Now I got a keg. Beauty's skin deep, boys and girls. Ugly's all the way to bone. If they're not saved, they're not right for you. If they don't want to serve God, they're not right for you. If they want to fit into the world, they're not right for you. I said, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying there's people seeking. I'm not going to get through this. There's no way. We'll be here at 3 o'clock. There is people today that's seeking for completeness in a relationship, in a relative. Boys and girls, it starts early. Well, they don't want to be my friend. They don't want to be my friend. Get over it. And then you got moms and daddies that's 50 years old, 40 years old. Well, so-and-so don't want to be my friend. Get over it. I know a friend sticks closer than a brother.
Amen.
He'll never leave you, never forsake you.
Amen.
Seeking completeness in relationships. They seek it. Some seek completeness in a rank. You know, a job title. If I can be the president, if I can be the vice president, if I can be the CEO, if I can be a doctor, if I can get my master's degree, if I can get my doctor's degree, if I can get a PhD. That's a post-hole digger's degree, amen. I'll just be happy. No, they thought that when they got their associates or their bachelor's, and then they had to get their master's, and then they had to get the doctor. It's always something more, I mean. I'm not against education, but you're not going to be fulfilled just because you get educated. I'm not against having a good job, but just because you can be the president of a major corporation doesn't mean you're going to be complete. None of those things is ever going to take the place of Christ. And ye are complete in him and in him only.
Right.
Some seek completeness in reformation. Oh my. Preacher, I'm going to straighten up. Preacher, I'm going to turn my life around. Preacher, I'm going to turn over a new leaf. Anybody can turn over a new leaf, but when the next wind blows, you'll just flip right over again.
Right.
Being complete is not about a reformation, moms and dads. I've heard it. You've heard it. People start coming to church. Well, I need to change my life. I need to change my ways. No, you need a relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus will change. Sometimes Jesus will change you. Sometimes the church has muddied the waters and messed up. And sweet, we've got standards and convictions we ought to have. But so many times I'm afraid that we've so enforced them on people that aren't saved that people think that I've got to do this and I've got to do that in order for God to accept me. No, you get them to Jesus and Jesus will change them. Jesus changes on the inside. It will be expressed on the outside. Oh, yes, good neighbor. We've so emphasized the external and the outside appearance so many times that people have word, and our churches are full of what we want to call Pharisees. Really, they're goats that have learned to put on sheep clothes. Because I don't have long hair, and I don't wear this, and I don't listen to this, and I... But deep down on the inside, they've got that list, you know. They've got that do's and don't. They've got that, but on the inside, they're empty. And it's such a struggle. It's such a struggle. Well, let me say this. When you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you become a new creature, and it won't be a struggle to be new. It will be your nature to be new. When the new man's born again,
amen,
and the new man's alive, he wants to live. It'll be your nature. And so some look for, man, I probably need to preach that, a reformation. And then let me say this, some people look for completeness in recreation. In recreation. Are y'all listening to me? I'm not against sports. I'm for sports. I like sports. I want y'all to know I like sports. Y'all with me? I love them. But America is such a sports-crazed nation. You know, one of the reasons, there's several reasons why the Roman Empire fell, but one of the reasons why the Roman Empire fell is it was a sports-crazed nation. That's one of the flaws. There's three or four other things you could put in there. But one of America's problems today, and one of the church in America's problems today, is we're so sports-crazed. It's all right to play t-ball. It's all right to play football. It's all right to do those things. But we're such an age now that mom and daddy think their kids in the NBA and they got to miss church every other Sunday or every other week. They can't go to church on Wednesday night. They got to play basketball. Let me just help you out. If you teach them that basketball is more important when they're 13, they sure enough going to think it's more important when they're 30.
Right. Bye, bye, bye.
And today, y'all know what today is. The Daytona 500. I wondered today, I just wonder how many churches got empty pews because the people are packing grandstands. Whoa! I like to watch it, I enjoy it, I see it. But I'm going to tell you, if it pulls you away from the house of God, it pulls you away from the things of God. But there's people, man, here it is. Here, I'm a sports fan, so I know. In February, late January, early February, you got the Super Bowl. Somebody help me. As soon as the Super Bowl's over, NASCAR starts. It's funny how this works. Once NASCAR gets going good, baseball starts. Are y'all with me? We don't count hockey. Amen. Go to Canada. Amen. Hey, baseball gets going. And then baseball gets going, and then what? Seems like they play basketball year-round now. I'm just saying it's never a dull moment. And you don't think, I know, preacher, you're a conspiracy. You don't think Satan's got anything to do with that? Just keeping people occupied. I know it's the world system is what it is. And there's always something to occupy our minds. But I'm just going to say this. You can go to every sporting event in America. You can be Michael Jordan. Y'all know Michael Jordan. Y'all know Mike. You know, like everybody used to be, I like to be like Mike. Sometimes I dream. I mean, Michael Jordan has made millions putting a ball through a hoop. And I want to say that if we could pull Michael Jordan in here this morning and you could interview him, I've watched him, I've listened to him, you'll find out Michael Jordan's an empty individual. He's looking for satisfaction. He just turned 50 years old last week, and he's looking for satisfaction. He's looking to be complete. If only he knew Christ. He's looked in women. He's looked in alcohol and drugs. He's looked in all types of different relationships and all types. He's looked in gambling. If he could just look to Christ. Complete. I'm just saying simply that our completeness is found and realized in a person. Not in a position, not in a practice, not an appeal, not in a promotion, but in a person. He said, you are complete in him. This is what he said. You're complete in him, having been filled to the full with the present result that you are in a state of fullness. When you got saved, you trusted Christ, you were placed in Christ, you're in him. And when you came into him, you are filled to the full and you have a present state of being full. Not by rules, regulations, not by a boyfriend, a girlfriend, a spouse, or a friend, not by your job or your title,
right.
Not turning over a new leaf, but having a new life. We're lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, but we're always seeking a new thrill. We're always seeking a new thrill. They're always coming up with something better, something more exciting, something more to the edge. Well, the reality is you can only be complete in him. Let me hit on these I'll just go through these real quick. Not only the reality of our completeness, I'm going to say something about the reach of our completeness. What is the extent or the reach of our completeness? How much does, well, he said you are complete in him. He didn't give, let me say this. This would include things that pertain to our salvation. When it comes to being saved, you got it all when you got Christ. It's not trust in Jesus and do good works. Trust in Jesus and be baptized. Trust in Jesus and join the church. It's believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You got it all in things pertaining to salvation. But let me say this, in things pertaining to sanctification. That is being set aside, being holy. It's not a work that we do. It's a surrendered life to him, letting him live through us. You got it all in Christ. Things pertaining to our security. There's a lot of people that needs to hear this message. Hey, listen, you'll never get everything you need on a Sunday morning. Hey, when you get saved, hey, if you truly get saved, become a child of God, you're born again, you're a new creature. Can I say, you are saved once and for all. Some people need to listen to this. You need to get a hold of the fact that when you get saved, God's not planning on you keeping it. He's planning on keeping you. Some people say, well, I'm holding on. You ain't holding on to nothing. The only thing you hold on is your past and your failures. That's why they go around thinking, well, I was saved last week, but I don't know if I am this week. Because they're holding on to where they messed up. If you just realize that when you got saved, God's holding on to you. You're in his hand. Now, I'm not saying if you said a little prayer, some little phony false profession, signed a card. No, I'm talking about if you truly got saved. God made a new... Hey, if he saved you, he keeps you. And you got it all. Things pertaining to your security. You're his. Things pertaining to our satisfaction. You don't have to look. You don't have to look in the world. You don't have to look in all the entertainment. You don't have to look in all the things that the world offers. Hey, Christ will satisfy. Things pertaining to our substance. You say, preacher, I don't have. Listen, if you've got Christ, you've got all you need. Yeah, if you got him, you got all you need. Things pertaining to our service. Preacher, I don't know if I can serve. When you got saved, you got the Holy Ghost abiding within you, and you got a spiritual gift, and he'll help you, and he'll strengthen you, and he will help you and make you where you're able to serve him. if you'd be willing. Amen. Things pertaining to our salvation, our sanctification, our security, our satisfaction, our substance, our service. We are complete in all these areas. I'm talking about for our forgiveness, he talks about in chapter 1. Our faithfulness, our future. We're complete. Our fight. It's a hard fight sometimes. It's a strenuous, but you're complete in him. You've got everything you need in Christ. In him, he said, dwelleth the fullness, so that in him ye are filled. We have wisdom, 1 Corinthians 1:30, righteousness, sanctification, redemption. Colossians 2:3 says we have wisdom and knowledge. Everything you need, you have in Christ. You are complete in all areas of your life. The reach of your completeness is not limited. The reach of your completeness is in him, everything. Church, you ought to be encouraged. The reality of our completeness, the reach of our completeness, the reason for our completeness. Say, preacher, how can we can be complete in him? How can he make us complete? Number one, let me just hurry through this and say, number one reason for our completeness is because of Christ's person, who he is. I just said a while ago, Jesus is God. It said in verse 19 of chapter 1 here in Colossians, he said, for it pleased the Father that in him, that is in Christ, should all fullness dwell. In 2:9, he said, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Jesus is not just an angel. He's not just another rank between God and man. Jesus is the God-man. He is God made flesh. His person, he's God. Because he's God, you're complete in him. God is complete. God don't need you in order for him to be God. You need him. God is complete. Jesus is complete. In him, you are complete. Let me say this, because we are complete because of his preeminence. In chapter 1, verse 18, the Bible said, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. He might have the preeminence. Now I'm going to say it like this. Jesus is first place. He's number one. He said there in chapter 2, verse 10, which is the head of all principality and power. All principles. That's talking about angels. He's the head. He's over top of them. He's in charge. Jesus Christ is preeminent. His peace. We're complete because of Christ's peace. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? Look in chapter 1 in verse number 20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. The only true peace that you'll ever find is in peace, the peace that you'll find in Christ. The only way we have peace with God, the only way you'll ever have peace in this world is because Jesus Christ shed his blood on an old rugged cross, and through the blood he shed and the life he gave, he reconciled man back to God. He brought us back into favor. He brought us back into a chance to have a relationship with an all-time mighty holy God. He made peace for us. The reason for our completeness, Christ's person, Christ's preeminence, Christ's peace, Christ's power. I see in chapter 1, I see in verse number 16 and 17, his power in creation. It says, for by him were all things created that are in heaven. Y'all need to understand this, young people. Listen to me, young people. I'm going to give y'all one time when it's right to correct your school teacher. When your school teacher says that over a course of billions and trillions of years, the earth evolved, don't stand up and say it, but in the back of your mind say, my hind leg. Y'all with me? Verse 16, by him, that's by Christ, by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether it be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And verse 17 says, he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Jesus Christ created it all. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Jesus was at work there. Amen. Jesus was in Genesis 1:1 doing the work. Amen. He created all things by Him. And verse 17, watch this, not only create them, and by Him all things consist. That is literally all things are held together. He's holding it all together. Y'all know the old song, He's got the whole world in His hand. He's got the whole world. Yeah. The truth of the matter is He does got the whole world in His hand. He's got the whole universe in His hand. And if He lets one thing off, it's going to fly to cow. People's worried about, is this meteor going to hit and ruin the earth? Is this going to hit? No. Listen, I'm not worried about a bunch of Mayans and their calendar. They didn't prove to you they didn't know what they was talking about. Either that or they just ran out of rock. By Him all things consist. Jesus, in His power, He's got it all under control. Yeah. And He's not worried about if the great whale's going to go extinct or the bald eagle's going. He's got it all together. Everything this earth needs, He's got it. By Him all things consist. Amen. I see His work in creation. I see His work in consisting. And then I see His power at work in conversion. It's wonderful to think that God's so powerful He could speak. You know, just to help you out, people talk about how God reached down and formed the can. No, He spoke them into being. Just read your Bible. He spoke and said, let there be, and there was. And not only there was, Timmy, the Bible said, and it was good. What God created, He created good. It was good. I believe God could have sat back after the 6 days of creation, Brother Robbie. I believe God could have sat back and said, it's all good. That's what the Bible said. He looked up on it and He said it was all good. But wait a minute. Those things pale in comparison to the work that He does in an individual's life when they trust Christ. Look in chapter number 2. Look in chapter number 2 in verse number 13. The Bible says, and you being dead in your sins, dead. Now what's dead mean? No life. Be absent from the body, present with the Lord. Absent. No life. Hey, watch, wait a minute. And you being dead in your sins. He's talking about spiritual death here. You being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh. Watch this. Hath He quickened together with Him? The word quickened means He made you alive. He brought you to life. So when you trusted Christ and received Christ, there was a spiritual resurrection. Some of you is looking at me dumbfounded. I want to just help you. If you don't remember coming out of the grave, you're probably still in the grave. And you being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, had He quickened together, made you alive, resurrected, quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses. What power? There's great power in creation. There's great power in Him holding everything and everything's consistent. But there's greater power in the conversion of a lost soul. The same God that said, let there be and there was in creation is the same God that comes in and touches a life and regenerates it by the work of the Holy Ghost and makes it a new creature or a new creation. We see Christ's power in conversion, in salvation. And then let me say this. We see that we are complete in Him because of Christ's payment. Christ's payment. In chapter number 1 and verse 14, the Bible says, in Him we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. You are not forgiven because you pay a priest money. You're not forgiven because you do 25 Hail Marys. You're not, listen to me, you're not forgiven because you go to church every week. You're not forgiven because you drop big bucks in the plate. You're forgiven based on the blood that Jesus Christ shed. Without the blood, the Bible said in Hebrews 10, Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Without the blood of Jesus, we have no forgiveness. But thank God, He went to the cross, and when He paid the debt, He paid it all. Verse 20 again, He said, having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself. By Him, I say, whether it be things in earth or things in heaven. It's payment. Look in chapter 2 and verse number 14. He says something else about this payment. He says blotting out. He's talking about Christ when He went to the cross. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances. That's the law that was against us, which was contrary to us. Some people think, well, I'm going to be saved because I'm going to keep the law. Are you a nitwit? The law never saved anybody. The law only showed those that kept or observed the law. The law only showed them that they needed a Savior. The law is our schoolmaster bringing us to salvation, showing us that we need Jesus. Nobody ever kept the law to be saved. Let me say that again. Nobody ever kept the law to be saved. Nobody has ever kept the law to be saved. He said it was the ordinance that was against us. It was contrary to us. And watch, this is what Jesus did when He went to Calvary. And He took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. Nailing it to His cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show over them, openly triumphing over them in it. Christ's payment. Can I just say it like this? When Jesus went to the cross, the old song said it, Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left the crimson stain, but He washed it white as snow. You're complete in Him because of the payment that Jesus paid at Calvary. He gave His life. Can I help you this morning? Jesus died for your sins. Sir, Jesus died for your sins. Ma'am, Jesus died for your sins. And He shed His life's blood. And He laid down His life so that you could be forgiven. He paid it all. Pleruo, it's a nautical term, to be complete. In olden days, a shipmaster or the captain of a ship would have a ship at port. He'd have a crew member, a set of crew members, and they would pack the ship. They was going out to sea for a voyage. They were going out on an adventure. They were going on a journey. And he would have a list, and he would say, listen, we've got to pack this, we've got to have this, you've got to have all our supplies, we've got to have all our tools, we've got to have everything. And when he got done, when they got done packing the ship and getting the ship ready to go, the captain would say, are we ready to go? Do we have everything we need? Are we packed up? Do we have all the supplies? Are we full? Do we have everything needed for the journey? And they would say, Pleruo, we're complete. Pleruo, we've got everything. It's sufficient. Pleruo, we have all our supplies. Pleruo, we are ready for the voyage. And can I say, the Bible says that we that have trusted Christ, have received Christ by faith, ye are complete in Him. So when you trusted Christ, you didn't become perfect in the sense that you're never going to sin again, never going to fall. But in Him, you can say, in Him, through Him, because of Him, in Christ, pleruo, I'm ready for the voyage of life. In Him, I can face what comes tomorrow. In Him, I can handle whatever comes my way. In Him, no matter the question, He's the answer. In Him, no matter the burden, He can carry it. In Him, no matter the need, He can meet it. In Him, we find all that we need, all that we ask, all that we long for, all that we seek, we find it all in Him. Can I say this? Whatever you and I as believers need, we have in Christ. Somebody has said it like this. When Christ is all you have, you will then realize that Christ is all you need. Are you complete? or are you incomplete? Are you in Him this morning? Or are you out of Him? Are you complete? Are you incomplete? Are you ready to face the voyage of life? Have you trusted Christ? Maybe you're saved this morning. Maybe you're saved, but you've been deceived by the deceitfulness of this world, the philosophies, the things of this world. And your view, your biblical view is warped. And you never realize that you're complete in Him. Maybe the Bible just reminded you this morning from the pages of the Word of God, the Holy Spirit has showed you. You can be encouraged because you're complete. You've got everything you need in Him. But can I say this? If you're not in Him, you don't have what you need. If you're not in Him, you're not ready to handle the matters of your family. You're not ready to handle the matters of forgiveness. You're not ready to meet the future. There's no area you are complete outside of Him. But in Him, there's no area where you're incomplete. Are you complete? Are you incomplete? Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, God, I pray this morning, God, you take this message. God, I pray you speak to hearts and lives. God, help us this morning. God, I pray if there be anybody here this morning that's lost, that God, you'd speak to their heart. Show them that they need Christ. They don't need a new leaf. They don't need reformation, but they need a relationship with the Son of God. God, I pray for them. I pray for Christians sitting here this morning that's struggling through life, and sometimes distressed and depressed. God, I pray for them to realize that they are complete in you. God, speak to our hearts this morning. Have your will and way. And all that you said and done this morning, help us. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We're standing all across the auditorium. Heads are bowed.